So that's the reality of where we're at. Not merely a war of intelligence agencies, but a war of corrupt media, corrupt culture. That war, we have got to understand. People who have appeared on this panel have been involved, sometimes with great sacrifice, at revealing the truth about important parts of the world, how the world is unfolding, how the world is shaping, the nature of institutions. They have revealed it heroically, in many cases, to the historical record, to our civilization as a whole, to you. You have to understand that where there's great powers at work, enormous cultural powers, enormous industrial powers, the vast network of corporations that interact with government agencies around the world, selling them products, shipping their logistics from one place to another. The National Security Agency, for example, now has approximately 70% of its expenditure passed through Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, etc. This produces a lobby that pushes in particular directions. How is it that such a lie got into a script about WikiLeaks? How is it that in the light of that national intelligence estimate, that anyone could think that it was tolerable, acceptable, to foist that lie upon the public, that it would make it all the way through the Hollywood system, that distributors would pick it up? Because they perceive that that is where the power lies in the United States. They perceive that it's perfectly okay to slander an entire nation, that it's perfectly okay to beat the drums of war like that, because people in that system want the war. We have to understand that everything that we see, read, and hear is produced for a purpose. It's produced as a result of incentives. Other material is not produced. There are disincentives to not produce it. We walk almost sleepwalking, almost blind, every time we open the newspaper and read an article. That particular journalist wrote about that for a particular reason. They felt that their editor would accept that. They wouldn't have to argue with them. The editor felt that the proprietor would accept it. The journalist felt that the people that they deal with in their community would like it, and in fact might even pat them on the head and take them to a fancier cocktail party, or perhaps even give them a better position. All these things influence how our society, our civilization, is documented. Now, working against that trend and against that current of corrupt, powerful organizations producing a distorted perspective of the world has been the internet. For the first time in history, that has allowed one person with some truth to speak to every single person who wants to hear that truth. It is the great antidote. There is a war on for control of the internet. That war takes place on the one hand by producing incredible propaganda and hyping up threats about how the internet is dangerous. On the other hand, it involves introducing mass surveillance systems to surveil all of the internet. You know, different countries see the effects being bought by the internet and the political liberations being bought by the internet. And powerful groups in those countries feel fearful and they feel destabilized. And as a result, they want to find some way to control it and to know it. The knowing part of it comes from surveilling every trans-border communication that occurs between Great Britain and the United States, between almost every country in Latin America and the rest of the world, because their communications have to pass through the United States to reach Europe, pass the United States to reach Asia, and sometimes even pass through the United States when one Latin American country talks to another, simply because the communications infrastructure has been passed that way. This is collectively the greatest transfer of wealth that has ever happened, the greatest theft of information that has ever happened from every single one of us who uses the internet into the bowels of secret agencies.